Now, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you now to open it with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 1. So once again, Ephesians chapter 1. And if you were not aware, this is actually the last Sunday of not only this year, but this decade. Time is quickly flying by. It's hard to believe that it was 10 years ago that the first iPad was released. That's only 10 years ago that the first iPads were starting to be used. And now, through those iPads, you can use things like Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok and hibbity-hooba or whatever the kids are using these days. There are all kinds of apps to do anything and everything that you want to do under the sun. We've had a year of change and a decade of change with things like the Black Lives Matter movement and the continued support of the pro-life movement and the Me Too movement that has cropped up in our society. We've recognized as a society that there are things that we don't do well and have sought to change these things, to make them better, to improve. It's also been a decade that has been marked by natural disaster, with hurricanes hitting Florida and Texas and Haiti and the Bahamas, and we've just had destruction upon destruction, it seems. It's also been a decade of division politically. Whether you like the person in office or you don't like the person in office, there have been very little that gets done because of this division, because there's been contention and strife. It's also been a decade that's been marred by mass shootings, with 400% increase in mass shootings in the last 10 years. It's been a decade for my family that has been one of blessing. I got married less than 10 years ago. I've had 3 kids, bought my first house. 10 years ago, I started off working as a substitute teacher in Virginia. I moved on from that to become a youth pastor over in York. I taught American Sign Language, doing interpreting with that in Reading. And 2.5 years ago, just about, I came here and started pastoring here at this church. It has been a great year of blessing for me, a great decade of blessing, where God has continued to bless me again and again and again. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you cannot relate to anything that I'm saying. You look back on this decade, and it has been a decade of struggle, of trials, of difficulties. Perhaps you lost a loved one this decade, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a child. Perhaps you've been dealing yourself with personal illness. Perhaps you've been dealing with cancer or a chronic pain that just, for whatever reason, won't go away. For some, this has been a decade that has been positive. For others, it has been negative. And I want to be encouraging this morning that even if this decade has not been good for you physically, that if you are a believer in Christ this morning, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want to be encouraging you this morning to recognize all the ways in which God has blessed you. So with that in mind, would you please bow your heads and pray with me? And once again, loving Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather. Father, we're so blessed to be able to come here this morning to sing praises to your name, to fellowship with other believers. God, we pray for this morning that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts. Father, that you would help us to understand you better, that Lord, when we leave from here, we do so closer to you than when we arrived. God, continue to bless us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I said a moment ago, we'll be talking about blessing this morning. And the first thing I want to do is take some opportunity to look back on some of our teaching series that we went through this year here on a Sunday morning. The first thing you might remember, way back in January, we looked at this idea of the DNA of a godly church. That was our banner right there. The DNA of a godly church. First and foremost, we recognize that it is God's church. In a godly church, it is not your church, it's not my church, it's God's church. And then we recognize that a godly church focuses on teaching the people of God, on preaching the word of God to those who haven't yet received it, on service and on prayer. These are key components, key elements of what it means to be a godly church. After that, we went on to the Daniel series, Daniel Dared to Be Different. And I spoke with Pastor Colin before, and I know he greatly appreciated that series. It was a series that calls you to be bold, to stand firmly for your faith, to be like Daniel and his friends, who even though they faced persecution and the threat of death, that they stood firm, strong. If you look here at our slogan once again, you have this picture of one man who's not conforming to the world. We're called to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're called to be different than the rest of the world. If you were here in July, we looked at the Holy Spirit, and we did a series solely in that month on the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, who is what he does. And what you might recall is that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is God. His responsibility is to indwell every believer. He indwells you, if you're a believer this morning. He indwells you, he convicts you of your sins, and he equips you for the works of the saints. The Holy Spirit is active and alive in our church and in our world today. After that, we looked at the five solas, the five things that stand alone. We recognize that Scripture alone is all we need from God. That Scripture is the divine revelation, the holy inspired word of our Lord and Savior. We also recognize that we are saved by grace alone. No amount of works that you do save you from condemnation. It is all based on grace through faith. And all of this done because of what Christ did on the cross. And all of this ultimately for the glory of God. That was our study in August, remembering everything that we do is meant to be done in the glory of God. And most recently, we did a series on the book of Ephesians called The Portrait of a Faithful Life. We looked at what it means to follow after God, what it is God has given us, and how it is we're supposed to look as a result of what God has done for us. Now, these have been teaching series that have been here on a Sunday morning. Now, you could have been involved on our Wednesday night service as well. We've been going through Exodus. You could have been in one of many of our Sunday school classes. You could have been in a small group or one of our connect groups. You could have been doing personal study on your own. The ability to study the Word of God is a blessing in your life. Revelation 1:3 tells us, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it." It is a blessing to have the Word of God and to be able to read it in a language that you understand or to hear it spoken in a language that you understand. As I said before, I want to be focusing this morning on what it means to be blessed. And I want you to know, if you want to have a miserable life, the thing you should do most is focus on the negative. If you want to have a life that is you're a grumpkin, that you're not happy with how things are going, that you're constantly upset and unpleasant to be around, focus on the negative things in your life. I guarantee you that's what will happen, that you won't be happy, you won't be content with what God has given you. Now, if you want to be in service to God, if you want to be growing in your faith, I encourage you to focus on the blessings with which God has given you. So with that in mind, once again, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. In verse 3, we read this. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Now, as I said before, if you are here for our study on Ephesians and the Portrait of a Faithful Life, you might remember that the author of this book is a guy named Paul. Now, Paul is a very unique man because he is one of 12 apostles. And what makes him especially unique is that he is the only apostle who didn't follow Christ in his life. The other 11 all followed Jesus throughout his ministry. Paul was different. In Acts chapter 9, Paul has a special revelation of Jesus, a special calling from him to be the ambassador to the Gentiles, to go out and to evangelize the unbelievers. And in the course of that action, while he's out evangelizing the unbelievers, Paul actually ends up in Rome. And not in a good way. He's visiting Rome, seeing the sights. He's in chains in Rome, in prison. And it is from this prison that he writes this letter to let the church of Ephesus know everything that God has blessed them with and what they're called to be doing as a result of this blessing. So once again, we look at Ephesians 1:3, and it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." This statement, "blessed be," is talking about the one who is doing the blessing. The one who blesses you is the one who has all the blessing to give. Have you ever thought about this? Look around you for a second. Everything that exists in this room today exists because God spoke it into existence. He said the word, and it is here. Every physical blessing that is available today is a result of God giving it. All good things, we can learn in James, come from God. Everything that is good is a result of what he has done for you and for me. So the term blessed be here is referring to the one who is giving the blessing. It's also a term telling us how to respond to the blessing. This word for blessing here also means to praise. We are called to praise God as a result of what he's done in our lives. Now you can look back through scripture and you'll see throughout the Bible numerous times where people praise God, sing the praises of God. You can look back to a guy named Abraham in Genesis 12. Back before he became Abraham, he was Abram. We've been studying Genesis in the youth group downstairs, and we actually looked at this passage just last week. And in Genesis chapter 12, Abram starts off, and he gets called by God. And God calls him to a new land, tells him to leave where he is, to leave his father and his mother, to leave his family, and go to the place where God will show him. And Abram immediately sets out, and he goes, and he travels, and he arrives there. And the very first thing that he does, before he does anything else, he establishes an altar to God and sings praises to God. See, Abraham, even before God gives him a blessing, before he receives all the money that he's going to get and the sheep and the gold and the silver, before he receives a child who will be the child of the promise, before he has a family, a descendant that'll carry on his name, before any of that happens, he recognizes who God is, that he is the God who can give blessing, and as a result, he praises God. And then you might remember a guy named David in the Old Testament. David wrote roughly half of the Psalms in our Bible. And you might remember David's life. David didn't have the easiest life. His life started off as a life of work. He was a shepherd taking care of his father's sheep. And then he was anointed king, and he became a warrior. Now David was pursued before he became a warrior. After he became a warrior, he was pursued by the current king, trying to kill him. And David was forced to run for his life. And even after he became king, as a result of choices that he made, his son Absalom tries to usurp his throne. And he's forced into civil war with his own son. Now, the interesting thing to note here, the Psalms of David were written before God gave him blessing, while he was given blessing. They were written while he was in persecution, while he was in hiding. He was written at the end of his life, and he can look back and see the blessing. David recognized that he was called to praise God no matter what was happening in his life. Before he was blessed, while he was blessed, after he was blessed, he recognized the importance of singing praises to the Lord. And then you might remember the story from Luke chapter 17 of the 10 leopards. And no, not the animal, the guys whose skin would have been white, the guys who would have been outcast of society. These 10 lepers cry out while Jesus is walking. He's going from Jerusalem up through Samaria, and these lepers cry out to him saying, "Heal us." And Jesus takes note and takes pity. And he says, "Go present yourselves to the priests." And as they're going off to the priests to present themselves, their bodies are made clean. And it says in Luke 17, verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him." He sang praises to Jesus because he recognized what Jesus has done for his life. What has Jesus done in your life? What can you look back upon this last year, upon this last decade, and see that God has given you? What blessing has God bestowed upon you? These are examples of people who praise God before the blessing, during the blessing, and after the blessing. How has God blessed you? What should you be praising him for here this morning? Now, Paul is going to quickly explain to the Ephesians what it is that they should be praising God for. Once again, we read in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings in the heavenly places." Is that what yours said? Okay, it didn't say some. It doesn't say many. It says every or all. As a result of being in Christ, you have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. See, it's very easy in life to focus on physical blessings. Those are easily seen. We understand what a physical blessing is. But oftentimes we neglect to appreciate God for it. So we have these physical blessings. Did you know that if you are sitting in here today and you make more than $10 a day, then you make more money than 80% of the people who are alive just by making more than $10 a day. A couple weeks ago, I had $20 in my pocket. I lost that money. I don't know what happened to it. It was in a pocket. I know I had it there. And when I got home, it wasn't. And that's just what happened. And for me, it's not a big deal. It's $20, which, I mean, yeah, it could have gotten me something. But think about $20, what that meant to somebody else who's only making $10 a day. Or the 50% of the world who lives on $5 a day. That's half a week's earnings lost. Possibly consider this, that 3/4 of people in developing countries don't have any savings at all. No bank account. No ability to save money. If you have any money in your bank account today, you are doing better than 3/4 of the world. Or consider this, that half of the world's population doesn't have access to basic health care. Now, last summer, my son Gabriel, I love Gabriel. He is an adventurer. He's a climber. He's an explorer. He's the kid we have to watch at the park because he's the one who's going to walk away. But Gabriel, my wife was at the house with him, and we had been cleaning up the outside, and we had put one of the toys on the top of the stairs that shouldn't have been on top of the stairs. It was a little horsey that had wheels on it. And Gabriel, being the adventurer that he was, hopped right on that bad boy and shot down the stairs. Thud, 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 thud. So I was actually here at church, and Amber called me at church, and she's asked me to come home, and I hurry home, and he's very lethargic. He's not focused. You could tell he's just visibly not there. And then he starts throwing up, and we go, okay, it's time to go to the hospital. We want to just get him checked out, make sure everything's okay. Half the world doesn't have access to that type of health care, where if they have an accident like that, they can't just go to the hospital and get checked up. I don't love our health care system. It's a very confusing system dealing with insurance, not knowing what you're going to end up paying before you get there. Even after you leave, you don't know what you're going to pay later on. But I do appreciate the fact that when my son was in need, when I felt like I needed that help, it was there for me. Half the world doesn't have that physical blessing. 25,000 people will die today on average from not having enough food to eat. Another 10,000 will die today from not having clean water or enough water to drink. That's 35,000 people every day die from not having the basic necessities of life. I want you to evaluate your life, and yes, I understand you might be going through something difficult. The trials do come in life, and I'm not trying to make light of these trials. But you have blessings upon blessings upon blessings that are given to you by God. Now, I want to make sure I'm very clear here. I am not preaching a prosperity gospel. I am not telling you that because you follow God, you are being blessed. Matthew 5:45 makes it very clear that the rain and the sunshine fall on the just and the unjust alike. If you have received blessing this morning, it is because you have a God in heaven who is good and who is loving. And for those who have not received blessing, it is because you live in a world that is corrupted by sin, a world that is fallen and broken, a world that is full of man and their desire for themselves and not for others. Now, these physical blessings, as I said before, are more easy to see, but the spiritual blessings are very challenging. What does this mean? What is a spiritual blessing? Paul recognized that it wasn't something they might have known about, so he spends the next 3 chapters in this book writing about it. Now, we're going to take the opportunity here, and we're going to read through Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 20. While we're reading through, go ahead and look at your Bible. I want you to read with me. I want you to be focusing on spiritual blessings. Look for what you would consider to be a spiritual blessing, something that God has given as a spiritual blessing. Are you ready? So Ephesians 1, 4 through 20, we read this, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purposes, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. You read this. It says, you may know what it is, the hope to which you have been called. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places? Now, I went through there, and I tried to find and try and list every spiritual blessing I could. I came up with 15 originally. I have since read through this again and again and again, and every time I read through it, I seem to find more and more and more spiritual blessings. For example, in verse 4, it says that you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. So before Paul was put into prison, before Jesus died for your sins, long before the patriarchs, before Adam and Eve, before God even created the world, you were chosen by God. Now, before you get a big head, I want you to understand, God chooses everybody. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read this, that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. He is patient towards you. He is not wishing that any should perish, but that all could come to repentance in him. You were chosen by God before the foundation of the world to be his. You were not an accident. You were not a mistake. He knows you and he chose you. And it says in verse 4 also that we are holy and blameless before him. This is something that is difficult to understand in a society that continues to berate people in how they look, to try and put you down and make you feel like you're inadequate, like you're not enough, like there's something that is wrong with you, like if you're not conforming to our society, that you're in the wrong, that you've made a mistake. God wants you to know that you are blameless and holy in his eyes. That before your heavenly Father, there is nothing wrong with you. You are exactly how he wants you to be. Also in verse 4, we're told that we are in his love. What a blessing it is to be within the love of God. The type of love they're talking about here is the agape love, an eternal love, a love that no matter what you have done or what you do, you have God's love. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore or make God love you any less. In verse 5, you read that he predestined us to adoption. Is there anybody in here this morning who was adopted? I don't need a show of hands, but if you were adopted this morning, you will understand this more than anybody else who is here. I love watching on YouTube these videos of parents who are adopting children, and they give them these presents. And inside the present, the kid opens it up, and it's some kind of a certificate saying that you're ours now, that we've adopted you, we've chosen you. And what I love most about these videos are the kids. Watch their faces. What it means to them to be accepted and to be loved. To be part of a family. They have been adopted. They've been chosen. They are wanted. You have been adopted by God. You are a child of God, a brother and sister in Christ. You are wanted by God. It says in verse 6 that you have been accepted into the beloved. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are a member of the body. You are special. You are not like anybody else who is around you. God has equipped you. If you remember back to our series in July of the Holy Spirit equips each of us uniquely, gives us each unique abilities, unique talents, unique passions to serve him. You are accepted by God in the beloved. And all of this is a result of the redemption that we have through his blood. This word redemption here, it's a really cool word. This idea of redemption, I want you to think now, if you're a homeowner right now, or if you have a car that you have a payment due on, if you have a mortgage that you owe for your house, perhaps you have credit card debt. Perhaps you owe somebody $20 for something. I don't know. I want you to imagine that you have a debt. This idea of redemption here is one that says that you owed somebody, but that debt has been paid. Romans 6:23 is very clear that the wages of sin, or the cost of sin, is death. We owed God our lives. We had forfeited our lives by the fact that we sinned. But the beautiful part here is that we have been redeemed. God paid that price for us on Calvary. He said, I've got this. It's not on you anymore. We have redemption through his blood. In verse 7, it also says the forgiveness of sins. Your sins have been forgiven. Now, you might be sitting here this morning as someone who is struggling with a particular sin. Perhaps who's done something that you think that God can't possibly forgive you for. You could have killed somebody. You could have cheated on your spouse, on your husband, and your wife. You could have been abusive to your children. You could be a chronic alcoholic who continues to go back to alcohol as a means to medicate yourself, to make yourself feel like you're okay. I don't know what sin you're struggling with, but you have been forgiven this morning. That is a spiritual blessing that you have received because you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter what the sin is, God forgave it for you. As a result of that, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. If you are in Christ this morning, you are a part of the plan of God. Now, all religion tries to answer four main questions. They try to ask, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? These are four questions that all religion tries to answer, and they're all answered here in this text. Who are you? You are a child of God. You are an adopted heir. You are one who God loves. Where did you come from? You were selected before the foundation of the world to be God's. God created you. You're not an accident. Why are you here? You're here to be a part of the body of Christ. You are equipped by the Holy Spirit to work, to be serving others as part of the body, to be bringing others into the body. And where you're going when you die is answered in verse 11, where it says you will receive, you have obtained an eternal inheritance. If you remember once again our study last year in the book of Revelation, we talked about this. And how as a result of your faith, you will spend eternity, not one day, not one year, eternity with your Father in heaven. These are all spiritual blessings, things that you have today as a result of your faith in Jesus. It says here that when you heard the word of truth being the message of Jesus, do you know what a blessing it is to have heard the word of truth? It's estimated about 2 billion people, roughly one-fourth of the population, has never heard the gospel message, has never heard that God created them, has never heard that Jesus died for them. They don't know the gospel message. It is a blessing to have heard that message. And as a result, when you respond to that message, it says in verse 13 that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit as a down payment upon the inheritance. Again, if you're a believer in Christ this morning, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And again, there is nothing that you can do to get rid of him. He is in there whether you like it or not. See, a lot of people, there are times when people walk away from God and they try to follow after themselves. They get tired of following after God. They get tired of serving others. But see, the Holy Spirit still dwells within them, still convicts them of their sin, still tries to bring them back into fellowship, tries to bring them back into the body for the purpose of service. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He works through us to bring that to fruition. And we read here in verse 18 that you know the hope of his calling, that you are the riches of his inheritance. You are God's inheritance. You are his prized possession, the thing he values above anything else. There is nothing on this earth that God values more than you. He wants a relationship with you more than anything, literally anything in this world. And in verses 19 and 20, we recognize that all of this is as a result of the immeasurable greatness of his power. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the power that conquered death, that conquered sin, that healed the lepers, that power is available to all believers here today. Now, I'm not saying you'll be able to perform the miracles that Jesus did, or that you'll be like the apostles and have every spiritual gift. But what I am saying is that God has given you a gift, that he has given you a role. You have a part in the body of Christ. As I said before, the beautiful part about these blessings is that they are a result of a gift of God. They're a result of grace. Excuse me. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works that no man can boast." All these blessings that you have received today aren't because you've worked hard. They're not because you've earned them. They are all a gift of God's grace. Now, I went through Scripture again, and I tried to find some more blessings in there. I started listing them, and my pages kept getting longer and longer and longer. If you read through Scripture, you go through the New Testament especially, or the book of Psalms, you see all the ways in which we are blessed. In 1 Corinthians, we learn that we are laborers together with God, that we are ambassadors who bring the message of reconciliation. You have a purpose in life. You get to work with God to bring the good news to somebody who hasn't heard it. In Philippians 4, we recognize that we have available to us a peace that surpasses all understanding. In Romans 8, we have the assurance that nothing that we can do can separate us from the love of God. All of these are blessings upon blessings upon blessings. I hope this morning, as you hear me speak, that you recognize all the blessings that God has given you in your life. Now, I don't bring this to your attention so that you can leave from here and just feel good about yourself, that you can just feel blessed. See, we are blessed to be a blessing. We read in James 1:27, it says this, that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This idea of visiting orphans and widows is one that means to take care of those who are at risk in your society. See, orphans and widows, they were at a risk of being taken advantage of. They had no protector. They had no one to provide for them. They could be easily abused. We're called to take care of others. Anyone who is at risk, we're called to take care of. And I like the way R.C. Sproul, he was an American theologian and pastor, he explained it this way. He said that one of the worst things that we can ever do is to waste the gift that God has given us. Our time, our resources, our heart should be diverted away from primarily seeking our own pleasure and comfort and towards expanding God's kingdom and his glory. Pay attention to this next part. Serving the poor is not about sympathy for their condition. It is sharing the gifts that we have been given when God saw us and had mercy on us for our condition. See, we don't help others because we feel like we're better than them, or because we look down on them and say, oh, poor person, you need help. We help others because we recognize that God, when we were completely alone, when we were dead in our sins, that he saved us, that he saw us, that he helped us. At the start of this message, I talked about it's going to be a new year. What do you want your 2020 to look like? I want to encourage you to remember the blessings that you have received from God. If you forget, go back and read Ephesians 1 again, trying to find the spiritual blessings that you have access to as a result of your position in Jesus. And I want to be encouraging you in 2020 to be on the lookout. How can you bless somebody else? It could be through a kind action, a kind word. It could be financially, you can help them physically. It could be by sharing the message of Jesus with them. I want you to be on the lookout on how you can be blessing others this year. And as I go to close, I want to read Psalm 103 from you. Psalm 103 is written by David, and I really appreciate Psalm 103 because David, he didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do. The Holy Spirit didn't indwell people permanently. But 103 is the Old Testament mirror of Ephesians chapter 1. So I read Psalm 103, it says this, to bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who has forgiven all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are opposed. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in his steadfast love.